Whenever you hear the word ministry, what's the first word or the first thought that comes to your mind? As we serve the Lord, as we do His work, what's going to happen as a result of that? And, you know, there are many answers to this, but maybe you can help me fill this sentence in. When we serve the Lord, there will be blank. Okay, what do you think? When we serve the Lord, what's going to happen? Okay, there could be any number of things that happen, right? As we think about serving the Lord in this world, as we think about doing His work in this world, that service is going to be met with in different ways, isn't it? As we serve the Lord in this fallen world, we're going to have all different types of experiences. Ministry involves so many blessings, doesn't it? We can't even count all of the blessings that will come about when we serve the Lord. But also, as we serve the Lord, we can't be naive. It's not just all blessings, is it? There's going to be many a challenge, many a hardship. And if we have our perspective right, maybe we'll consider those hardships and those difficulties as blessings in and of themselves. But it's not all easy going as we serve the Lord, is it? Sometimes ministry seems easy, but oftentimes it proves to be very difficult. Now we rejoice that genuine ministry will pay eternal dividends. As we serve the Lord, as we share His word, lives are going to be impacted for eternity. But as we think about the here and now, there are many times that our ministry for the Lord is going to be opposed, where people will even persecute us because of our work for the Lord. Yes, ministry brings peace to people's lives, but also ministry will bring about strife and disagreements and hardships and all these things. At times, I think we as Christians view life through rose-colored glasses, and let me explain a little bit what that means. We envision ministry and the Christian life in ideal terms, so we magnify the blessings, and there's, I don't want to say that we shouldn't magnify the blessings, but we magnify the blessings and the good times and the changed lives, but then we forget about, to a certain extent, we fail to consider the pain and the heartache, the sleepless nights, the times of hardship, the discouragement, and the failure. And we know that it all goes hand in hand, doesn't it? All of it comes together as we do the ministry of the Lord. Now, if we lived in a perfect world, ministry would be a one-sided picture. There would only be blessings. There'd be no challenges. There'd be always joy, and there wouldn't be any grief. There'd be victories all the time, and there'd be no defeats. There'd be no losses. But we don't live in a perfect world, do we? We live in a far from perfect world. We live in a fallen world. So as we serve in the Lord in this fallen world, a world that's filled with sin, our goal is to reach the lost, to reach those who are opposed to God and His Word. But we also work alongside those who, though saved, are still fallen sinners, and they don't always do things right. Ministry in a fallen world is going to involve people from the outside attacking us and opposing us, but it also is going to involve hard times from those who are right beside us, those who are our fellow believers in Jesus Christ. So hard times originate both from our foes, those who are against us because they're lost, but also from what we could call our friends, fellow believers in Christ. Hard times originate from both, don't they? That's the real picture. That's the way it is. There are so many different words we could use to describe ministry in this fallen world, but this morning I want us to focus on three specific words. First of all, the word disagreement. Okay, do you think of that word whenever you think of ministering for the Lord? Well, disagreements will come about as we minister for the Lord. But also, let's think about the word opportunities, because there are so many opportunities not only for ourselves, but for many others to get involved in the ministry as we ourselves minister. And then thirdly, the word blessing, because there will be so many blessings that will come about from ministering to the Lord. I invite you this morning to turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. We'll look at verse 36 and following. We'll go into chapter 16 and verse 5. We'll go through that passage. And as we read through this passage, we'll see some experiences in the early church where they ministered in a fallen world, and there was disagreement, There are opportunities, there are blessings. And as we ourselves today minister in this fallen world, surely we're going to come across with those who disagree with us in our way of ministry. We're going to encounter many opportunities for ourselves and for others to minister with us. And then there will be so many different blessings. Acts chapter 15 and verse 36, and we'll read down through chapter 16 and verse 5. If you're using one of our pew Bibles, it's page 1247. But before I read through the passage, let's just refresh our memories. It's been a little while, a couple of weeks since we've been in the book of Acts. Let's quickly reflect on the immediate context before these verses that I'll be soon reading. We could go back to the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, and we read about two men, Paul and Barnabas, and they're sent out by the church in Antioch on a mission, and the mission is to proclaim the gospel, not just in their immediate surrounding neighborhood, but to faraway lands, lands that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. They went first of all to the island of Cyprus, and then they went to the cities of Pisidian Antioch, and then Iconium, and then Lystra and Derbe. Once they got to Derbe, they turned around and they went back basically the same way, and they returned to Antioch. Now, during these travels, we have Paul and Barnabas, but they also had a young man named John Mark. Now, John Mark went with them, and they helped, and he helped during the first part of the mission trip. He went with them to the island of Cyprus, but whenever they arrived in Perga, shortly after that, in Perga and Pamphylia, John Mark leaves. He departs from the ministry, at least this ministry trip. He departs. Now we have Paul and Barnabas. They preach the gospel in the city in Antioch, in Iconium, in Lystra, and Derbe. They retrace their path. They return to Antioch. Once they return to Antioch, they minister in the church there. And they're involved serving the believers there in the city of Antioch. And then where do they go? They go to Jerusalem. Because there's a major disagreement. Some people from Judea had come to Antioch and they had said, unless a person is circumcised, unless a man is circumcised, he cannot be right with God. He cannot be saved. And of course, Paul and Barnabas, they didn't agree with that by any means. So there's this large disagreement. And the church in Antioch send Paul and Barnabas and some others to Jerusalem. And they talk about the situation. And the church in Jerusalem agrees that salvation is not by keeping the works of Moses or the law of Moses. And it's not by works. It's not by circumcision. It's by grace through faith alone that a person is saved. The church in Jerusalem makes that decision. They agree that this is God's will, and this is what God has revealed. This is how God saves people. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by God's grace, His unmerited favor. It's by trusting in Him. It's not by anything that you do externally. It's not by any human works. So the church at Jerusalem sent a letter back to Antioch and to some of the other churches in the area. Sent some messengers back to Antioch as well. And they say, you don't need to be circumcised to be saved. But you do need to maintain that clean break with idolatry. Maintain a clean break from all of its associated practices. You know, have nothing to do with idolatry or with blood or with things that are strangled or with fornication or sexual immorality. So it's in this context. Well, we have Paul and Barnabas and they're ministering in Antioch yet. And it's in this context that we read these words in Acts chapter 15. In verses 36 and following, and here's what we read. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. He departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed in. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith, and increased in number daily. So we read through the pages of the book of Acts, and especially as we focus in on these two men, Paul and Barnabas, is there any doubt at all in your mind? Is there any question in your mind that Paul loved the Lord and wanted to serve him with all of your heart, or with all of his heart? I don't think there's any question in our mind that Paul wanted to serve the Lord faithfully. So we think about Barnabas. I don't think there's any question in our mind about Barnabas either. Barnabas wanted to serve the Lord faithfully. He wanted to obey him. He wanted to faithfully serve. They had gone together on this first missionary journey to Cyprus, and then the city in Antioch, and Iconium, and Lystra, and Derbe. They had served the Lord faithfully. They came back to Antioch, and they continued to serve the Lord faithfully. They went to Jerusalem and returned from Jerusalem. Now they're at Antioch again, and they still want to serve the Lord faithfully. And we come to our present passage here, and Paul wants to do something. What does he want to do? He proposes to Barnabas, let's go again. Let's visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they do. So Paul had a concern for his brothers and sisters, the churches that had been planted in these cities. And he wanted Barnabas to come with him and go and see how their brothers and sisters are. That was their desire. Paul and Barnabas, I think their hearts were both right. They were genuine. They were men of integrity. But as we come to our passage here, we realize, as we continue reading on down, we realize that although Paul and Barnabas were men of God and they wanted to serve him with all of their hearts, both of them were still men. They were men with sinful natures. They were far from perfect. They hadn't reached that goal yet. They still struggled with sin. Neither Paul nor Barnabas had reached the mark of perfection in their walk with the Lord. They were redeemed but fallen men, wanting to serve the Lord, and they were serving the Lord, but they didn't always see eye to eye on how best to serve him. And our passage this morning brings it out very clearly, because we read in verses 36 through 38, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let's go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. So here is a disagreement between two very honest and real men of God. Okay, both of these men want to serve the Lord with all their hearts. But here is a disagreement, and it's no small disagreement. It's a quite strong disagreement between the two of them. See, neither one of them had a problem with going and revisiting the churches and encouraging them and supporting them and further discipling them. They both were agreed with that idea. Let's go back to these churches, let's encourage them and see how they're doing. Let's go back to Cyprus and Pisidian Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe. Let's go and see how they're doing. Maybe Paul had the thought, well, there may be a false teacher that's weaseled his way into one of the churches. Let's make sure that there's no false teacher leading them astray. Let's do all we can to support them and encourage them in their walk with the Lord. Barnabas didn't object to any of those things. But the one thing that brought the two to this disagreement was Barnabas wanted to bring with him a young man named John Mark. From other scriptures, we realize that Barnabas and Mark were cousins. Okay, they were related. Barnabas wanted Mark to come along. Paul did not want him to come along. Why not? Well, because of what had happened on the first journey. On the first journey, Mark came for a little while, went to Cyprus with them. But then in Pamphylia, what did he do? He went back. He didn't finish the trip. And in Paul's mind, even though Luke doesn't spell it out specifically in Acts, in Paul's mind, I think it's very clear that Paul viewed Mark's departure as an abandonment of the work. I think Paul viewed Mark as a deserter, a spiritual deserter. You started well, but you didn't finish well. Mark, you haven't been faithful in serving the Lord. That was Paul's mindset, I believe. And Paul thought, well, if Mark wasn't faithful, if he wasn't to be counted upon on that first trip, well, then why would we even think about bringing him along on the second trip? Because very possibly he may just turn back halfway through and return again and not finish what he started. So Paul was absolutely opposed to bringing this young man, John Mark, with them. But Barnabas had a different way of thinking. Remember who Barnabas was? We see him very early on in the book of Acts. He was known as the son of consolation or the son of encouragement. And Barnabas, and yes, maybe part of it was is because John Mark was his cousin, But Barnabas wanted to give Mark a second chance. Yes, he failed on the first trip, but let's give him a second chance. That doesn't mean he's not going to do well on this trip. We just need to encourage him and disciple him and help him along. So two men of God, Paul and Barnabas, they both wanted to serve the Lord. They both wanted to encourage the churches, but there was a strong difference of opinion as to how that ministry should go about. Barnabas wanted to bring Mark. Paul absolutely did not want to bring Mark. There's a strong division between them. And we see that in verses 39 and following. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So this isn't just a minor difference of opinion. It's not something where they could hash it out and come to a mutual conclusion so that they can both together do this mission. No, this was a strong, a sharp contention, a major disagreement. And they could not come to a compromise of any sort, except for the compromise that Barnabas would take Mark and go one way, and Paul would take somebody else. We find that it's Silas that he took, and he would go another way. And so as we think about what happened here, here's our map of the area. And here this first area is Antioch, where they were ministering. And this is kind of what we'd consider the home church, where Paul and Barnabas went out on that first trip. And then here they are, at this point in time, they're in Antioch. And they decide that Barnabas would do what? Barnabas would take John Mark, and he would go to the city of Cyprus and visit the believers that had been won to the Lord there on that first trip, visit those churches. So Barnabas would take Mark and go there. Paul would take who? Silas. And we'll talk a little bit about Silas. But Silas and Paul would go up north and then west and revisit some of the churches. And we'll read about that a little bit later on. So here's the solution that they agree upon. They're still disagreed as to the best way, but they come to a solution. The churches aren't going to be abandoned. They aren't going to be neglected. All of them would be visited, but just not Paul and Barnabas visiting them together. So all of them visited, but Barnabas and Mark going to Cyprus, Paul visiting the rest. Paul takes Silas with him. Remember, it's Silas that came down from Jerusalem. He brought that letter to Antioch, declaring that circumcision was not necessary for salvation. It was Silas that Paul said, "Why don't you go with me, and we'll revisit these churches." We learn from other passages that Silas was a Roman citizen. So here we have Paul and Silas, both Roman citizens. That comes in handy later on as they are opposed for the work of the gospel. So Silas and Paul, they depart and they revisit the churches. But this time, instead of going from Cyprus, then through the sea, and then up north and east, what do? They go from Antioch through the land, and so they go through Syria, and then they go through the next region, which we read about here. They go through Cilicia, and they confirm the churches. Now, they hadn't planted those churches that were in Syria and Cilicia, but they encourage them, they strengthen those churches spiritually, and then they revisit the churches that they had planted, that at least Paul and Barnabas had planted. So they go to Derbe, and then Lystra, and then the other cities. So Paul and Silas, they go on their journey, they're sent out with the commendation of the Antioch church, they're sent on their way by the grace of God, they strengthen the believers there, they encourage them by God's truth. So this passage is very real, isn't it? Okay, it doesn't try to cover over the disagreement between Barnabas and Paul. This is just the reality of ministry in a fallen world. You can have two very sincere and genuine individuals, two people that love the Lord with all their hearts, but one individual thinks, well, we should serve the Lord this way. And another individual says, no, I believe we should serve the Lord this way. And it's interesting in our passage here, Luke doesn't place blame on either Paul or Barnabas. There's a disagreement, but he leaves it open, basically, as to what's going on and who's at fault, or maybe both of them to a certain extent. Yeah, we can't say for sure, and so I think we have to be very careful as far as placing blame on one or the other. But it's very honest here that redeemed sinners who try to serve the Lord, as they go forth serving, there's going to be disagreements. What's the best way to serve the Lord? And sometimes that means there's going to be a separation of ways. Now, sometimes there's compromise and things can be worked out and they can still work together. But other times, there will be a separation of ways. And one believer will go this way and serve this way, and another believer will go that way and serve this way. So was this a bad thing or a good thing? Okay, what would you think? I think that any time in a situation like this where there's a strong disagreement like this, that it's unfortunate. Okay, isn't it always better in situations like this to have agreement and harmony rather than disagreement and discord? But as I mentioned before, no blame is placed on either Barnabas or Paul. He doesn't praise one more than the other, at least not in a very explicit way. Paul receives the commendation of the church in Antioch, but that doesn't necessarily mean that Barnabas didn't receive the commendation either. But the focus is on what Paul does for the Lord in his missionary trips. We don't hear anything more about Barnabas. We don't hear anything more in Acts anyway about Mark. But that doesn't mean God didn't bless their ministry. Disagreements like this are unfortunate, but in a fallen world, disagreements are inevitable. Godly Christians who want to serve the Lord are going to view things differently, and sometimes there's going to be a separation of ways. But yet, even through these disagreements, think about in this situation, God receives great glory and his cause is furthered. Why? Because we have two sets of missionaries going in opposite directions, encouraging the churches. So through this disagreement, even though the disagreement, I believe, was unfortunate, God's work is furthered because you have two sets going out instead of just one set. And I think even more lives were impacted as Barnabas and Mark ministered in Cyprus, and then as Paul and Silas, and then later on we read about Timotheus ministering further north and west. More people impacted for the gospel by this disagreement. So we realize, yes, in ministry in a fallen world, there will be disagreements. But also, as we consider ministry in this fallen world, there's going to be opportunities. Opportunities for others to get involved in the ministry. It's true with Silas. See, Silas before was ministering in Jerusalem, but now Paul says to Silas, let's go and minister in these churches. Let's encourage them. Let's strengthen them. And so Silas recruited by Paul to go with him. And Silas was used greatly in the ministry. We read a little bit later on about this young man, Timothy, who was recruited for the ministry. An opportunity was offered to him. So it is true. We have the separation of ways. We have Barnabas taking Mark under his wing, so to speak. Now, let's step back just a little bit and consider what happened with Mark as Barnabas took some extra notice of him. Now, once again, we don't see explicitly in the scriptures what happened and how this all worked. But later on, Paul himself says concerning Mark, he is a profitable servant. We read this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Paul says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So sometime between that initial time where Mark left Paul, and Paul said, I don't want him to come along on the second journey. Something happened where Paul could now say of Mark, he is a profitable servant. He's profitable to me for the ministry. In Philemon 24, we read this, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. This very possibly is the same Mark. And now Paul is saying Mark is a fellow laborer. So very possibly because Barnabas took an interest in Mark, that Mark was discipled and encouraged. He grew spiritually. And as a result of Barnabas' attention, Mark was a faithful and a worthy minister of the gospel. So disagreements, though unfortunate, can be used to greatly further God's cause. But let's focus in on the opportunities now. Let's look at chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. So Paul and Silas, they're on their way from Antioch. They go through Syria, and they go through Cilicia. Now they arrive in the cities of Derbe and Lystra. So we have Derbe, and then we have Lystra further down. We read in verse 1 of chapter 16, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. So they travel by land, they come to Derbe and then Lystra. Now, on that first missionary journey, remember what happened at Lystra. In Lystra, it was there that the people of the town acclaimed Paul and Barnabas as gods, as Zeus and Hermes. Okay, they were going to offer sacrifice to them. Paul and Barnabas did everything they could to stop the sacrifice from going on, to keep it from happening. And then what happens right away, at least shortly thereafter, the people of the town turn against them. And what happens? Paul is stoned and left for dead. Paul gets up and goes back into the city. In Derby, we don't read much that happens. We don't read of any opposition, but we do find that the gospel is preached. Many are taught. So Paul and Silas, they come to these two cities to encourage and see how the believers are doing at Derby and then Lystra. And while they're there, they find this young man named Timotheus, or Timothy. We read about him that he has a Jewish mother and a Greek father. Very possibly, his mother and his grandmother were saved during that first trip that Paul and Barnabas took. His father, Timothy's father, very possibly never was saved. We don't read anything about his salvation, but his mother was saved. We read also that his grandmother was saved in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5. So here's Timothy. He's a man that has a good reputation. The believers speak highly of him. We read it in Lystra and Iconium. Those believers speak highly of him. He proved himself to be faithful and true to the Lord. So Paul wanted to bring Timothy with him and Silas. He wanted him to help with the work of the Lord. In a way, Timothy took the place of Mark. So what Paul's goal in this whole trip, at least as they go to new lands, is to reach not just Gentiles, but to reach Jews also. And Timothy, being the son of a Jewish mother, and yes, a Greek father, but at this point in time, he hadn't been circumcised yet. According to Jewish law, males should be circumcised. And so Paul, realizing that he wants to minister to the Jewish people, doesn't want anything to hinder Timothy's outreach to them. And all the people around in that area knew Timothy had not been circumcised. So Paul wants to circumcise him, not because he's giving in to the demands of the legalists and the Judaizers. He's not giving them any acknowledgement that circumcision somehow saves. No. But Paul is wanting to reach all people groups as well as he can. And Timothy, if he's circumcised, can reach out to the Jews much better. He's doing it for the cause of the gospel. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, what Paul's mindset was. He says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." He says a little bit later on, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." So Paul's mindset here, as he has Timothy circumcised, is not saying that something is necessary as far as a work for his salvation. He's not saying that by any means, but he is doing everything he can so that Timothy can reach out to the Jews and be accepted by them, so that he can, at least accepted to a certain extent, at least his uncircumcision isn't going to repel them, and Timothy can share the gospel with them. So as we think about ministry, here's Paul and Silas and now Timothy. A great opportunity is given to Timothy as Paul and Silas are ministering to the Lord. Whenever we serve the Lord, many times there will be many opportunities for others to join us in the ministry. Faithful service by some will oftentimes result in faithful service by many others. Service oftentimes gives birth to more service. Ministry breeds even more ministry. And as Paul and Silas were faithful, more were added to their group. Opportunities led to more opportunities. So yes, as we serve the Lord in this fallen world, there will be disagreements, but there will be multiplied opportunities for ministry as well. As we continue on in our passage, verses 4 and 5, we realize the great blessings of ministry. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so are the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So from Derbe and Lystra, they move on. They go to Iconium, which is just a little bit further north of Lystra. And then they go to the city of Pisidian Antioch. Okay, so they retrace their steps. And as they do so, what do? They share what the Jerusalem church had decreed concerning the fact that salvation is not by circumcision, it's only by grace through faith. They encourage them in the faith. They strengthen them by sharing the good news of the Lord and His Word. Think about the blessings there as Paul and Silas and Timothy go to these churches. The churches were established in the faith. They were strengthened. They increased in number daily. So men and women were getting saved left and right as they faithfully served the Lord. Now we today, as we faithfully serve the Lord, we're going to see the blessing of the Lord as well. Doesn't mean there won't be any disagreements, that there won't be any hard times, but there will be great blessings. So when you think of the word ministry, what do you think of? Well, after this sermon, after we've looked at this text, we should keep in our mind, as we serve the Lord in a fallen world, there will be disagreements. Okay, that shouldn't necessarily discourage us, but there will be disagreements. God will use them, Lord willing, to His glory. And no doubt, certainly He will in some way or another. As we serve the Lord, not only will there be disagreements, but there will be opportunities for further ministry. And as we continue to minister in a fallen world, there will be many blessings as the Word of God is proclaimed. So as we minister today and in the days to come, may God work through us greatly. We want God's name to be glorified in all that we do. We want lives to be impacted for eternity. And we want that to be the case in the hard times as well as the good times. Whether it be the trials or the time of great blessing, what a privilege it is to serve the Lord. So yes, there will be disagreements, even among the most closest of friends, perhaps. There may be disagreements. Between the most godly of men or women, there will be disagreements. We need to realize that's the case. And try to work through it the best we can to God's glory. But there will be so many opportunities for further ministry. Recruit others to join us in the ministry. That's what we need to do. And then rejoice as we see God bless the work of the ministry. May we be faithful servants in all that we do.